Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Valimar Surrenders His Life, Text 17. Yahi vidvan api muyate yatas tat ko vitaste gatim atmano yata tasmai namaste jagada ishvaraya vai narayana yakila loka sakshine Nyaya, by which material opulence he indeed vidvanapi, even a person fortunately advanced in education, muyate, becomes bewildered. Yatata, yataha, self-controlled, tat, that, ka, who, vichaste, can search for, gatim, the progress, atmanaha, of the self, yata, properly, tasmat, unto him, Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Te, unto you, Jagat Ishvaraya, unto this Lord of the universe. Vai, indeed, Narayanaya, unto his Lordship Narayan. Akila, Loka Akshane, who are the witness of all creation. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of life, self-realization. Or for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport. The words, ko vichaste gatim atmano yata, indicate that when one is puffed up by the false prestige of possessing material opulence, he certainly neglects the goal of self-realization. This is the position of the modern world. Because of so-called scientific improvements in material opulence, people have entirely given up the path of self-realization. Practically no one is interested in God, one's relationship with God, or how one should act. Modern men have altogether forgotten such questions because they are mad for material possessions. If this kind of civilization continues, the time will come when the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences. Then people will come to their senses. Welcome to 2022. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by his will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Prabhupada gives the example that a man is on a tree and he's on a branch of the tree, and he's soaring off one of the branches. And one man comes along and says, sir, if you keep on soaring that branch, you're going to fall down. And the man gets angry, says, why are you bothering me? And he keeps on soaring off the branch, and suddenly it falls down. And the man says, oh, he runs after the other man who warned him and says, sir, sir, stop. Can you tell me my future? You must be an astrologer. In other words, the material world acts as Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shuyate Sabhavaki Gyanabala Kriyacha. The energies of Krishna, they act as a natural sequence. And if you know how they act, you know what the past, present, and future are. When it says Lord Brahma is omniscient or Yamaraj is omniscient, they may have some special clarity, but first of all, Lord Brahma's Lisra, 311 trillion, 40 billion years, you get a lot of experience during those times. And he's been around for many days, and he's seen a lot. So similarly, Prabhupada's predicting the collapse of this civilization, because that's how the material nature works. As I've said previously in the classes, Satyayuga, one of the principal elements of Satyayuga is truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, and austerity. And the opposite of that is illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication, and lying propaganda. So where did it all start in Kali Yuga, if we look at it? Again, Pariksha Maharaj was touring his kingdom, and he came upon a Shudra beating on a cow and bull. Principles, religiosity. The cow was only standing on one leg. Which means when Pariksha Maharaj asked the cow, who is beating you? The cow hesitated. Because if he would have said, the Shudra is beating me, then the natural question is, what's causing the Shudra to beat you? And then we have to go back to the super soul in the heart was telling, directing the Shudra to beat the cow. So ultimately it's Krishna's fault. Except for the fact that Krishna is simply giving the results of one's previous activities. And therefore, booming the cow was hesitant to name anyone particular, because otherwise she would have had to blame Krishna. But Krishna is not at fault, because he's simply giving direction to fulfill one's past karma. So therefore, Pariksha Maharaj didn't think, all right, Shudra is not at fault, he's beating the cow, I think I'll go home. Go and beat him. You're being inspired by Krishna. No, Pariksha Maharaj took out his sword and he was going to kill the Shudra dressed as a king. Till the Shudra surrendered, and then Pariksha Maharaj allowed him to live in a place where there's gold. Because wherever there's gold, there'll certainly be falsity, illicit sex, intoxication, animal slaughter. And then he disappeared, and as we know, that Kali decided to infiltrate in this age of Kali to start out by the form of a Brahmin boy, Sringhi, the son of Somika Rishi, and it explains that the demons, there's always a fight between the demigods and the demons, although it may not appear like that, because nowadays it's only the demons fighting against the demons. But previously there used to be demigods, and there still are demigods, and they'd fight the demons, and the demons that were killed by the demigods in a religious fight, so they took birth as Brahmins on this planet. So Sringhi was such a Brahmin, took birth, and he was inspired by Kali to curse Pariksha Maharaj to die in 7 days. And then everything is downhill. When the king is not there, the king is supposed to fulfill the desires of the Brahmins, but the Brahmins were degraded by Sringhi. What to speak of killing a pious king like Maharaj Parikshit, as we were reading the other day, that if one offends a saintly person, then one acquires sinful reactions for that. And therefore, as in the case of Gopala Chapala, he acquired leprosy for offending a saintly person. So, when the king is vanquished, and when the Brahmins become sinful, become offenders against the devotees, and Pariksit Maharaj was a great devotee, then the result is everyone, there's no more Brahmins, there's no more Kshatriyas, there's only a bunch of Shudras and a few Vaishyas left. And that's the position we're in now. And the Vaishyas, they're not really Vaishyas in Kali Yuga now, because there's no Brahmins to teach them what a proper Vaishya is supposed to be doing. They think a Vaishya is meant to gain material opulence in order for sense gratification. They have no knowledge that Vaishyas, that talent, that ability to gain things, is meant to engage them in this, in Krishna's service. So the result of that is that they want to exploit everything, beginning with the cow and the bull. They think, why should we bother taking care of the cow and bull? We can slaughter them and make money from them. But then when you slaughter the cow and the bull, then you have to figure out where you're going to get your food grains from. They don't grow on trees. So then you have to have inventions in order to take the place of the cow and the bull so you can eat them and utilize their different parts for your sense gratification. So there comes first, then comes the tractors, and in order to get tractors, you need a fabric, you need a factory. In order to get the factory, you need steel, so you have to have another factory to make the steel, to make the factory, to make the tractors. In order to run the factories, you need some kind of fuel, so you have to get oil. And in order to get the oil, they have to have boats. In order to get the boats, you have to have another factory to make the boat. In order to go across, and then you need some industry to dig into the earth to get the oil and extract it. Then you need another industry in order to refine it, make it into a fuel. Then you need transportation to bring it to the fuels to the factories and to the to transport the products so they can go of the whatever you grow, all the industrial, all the tractors and the harvesters and the pickers and the planters and all these factories and all these machines, and then you got to get the raw material and bring them to another factory that makes it into some kind of prepared food and canning factories, and then you got to transport that food into another, to a grocery store, and people have to go to the grocery store, and they have to drive to the grocery store to get the food. They have to go back, and they have to prepare the food on the ovens, and it requires more energy, and they have to manufacture the stoves and all the other things that come along with it, such as the refrigerators and the microwaves, and then they have to have exhaust, and then they have to heat the buildings, and then they have to have some garbage disposals, and then they have to have landfills, and then they have to have, it goes on and on and on. And that's called progress. Previously, people would go in the backyard, throw a few grains, seeds into the ground, take out a few weeds once in a while, and then that was it. And if they had to get somewhere, there was nowhere to go. They just walk. And you didn't have to get your PhD degree because there was nothing to learn except for Krishna consciousness. And you didn't have to take a loan You don't have to go to school so you can get a job, so you can take out a loan and then pay back for the rest of your life so you can buy a car and drive to the grocery store. And then bring it home and try to figure out, you know, put it in the refrigerator, take it out, see if it's still alive. Put it into the microwave oven and hopefully you don't get zapped yourself. And it goes on and more complicated. And as they say, or at least we were led to believe, there's a limited amount of oil. Therefore, although it appears that people can live a prosperous life in this way, but when the oil runs out, when the raw materials run out, especially nowadays, every modern society has expanded itself everywhere. Previously, people lived simply in India or in China or in Slovenia, but now everyone is a member of the rat race. Everyone needs a car. Everyone needs at least one car, not one for every man, woman, and child and dog in the family. Everyone needs their own room. Everyone practically needs their own house. Everyone needs their own television, their own bathroom, etc., etc. And because we're products of this civilization, we feel the same way. We think this is essential. This is life. As I mentioned, just like in one farm we had in America, we still have the farm, the devotees decided, well, let us be self-sufficient by cow protection. Show an example of self-sufficiency by cow protection. So they got some cows, and they were going to live off the land. But they also felt part of the necessities was everyone had to have their own house, their own car, their vacation to India at least once or twice a year. Everyone needed their TV to watch ITV. Everyone needed so many things. And the cow had to give enough milk to support this. That was self-sufficiency. Lo and behold, 5-10 cows didn't support a community of 30 devotees, each with their own car. So they decided the only way of doing this, expand the number of cows so we can get more milk, and therefore we can support our self-sufficient farm. So they got up to like 300 cows, and the poor cows couldn't give enough milk to support this so-called self-sufficient farm. So they said cow protection is useless. It doesn't work. So we want to live a materialistic life, and over expand more and more technology and industrialization, come up with more and more gimmicks and inventions to so-called make things more simple, which makes everything more complicated. As you can see, as I think we can see, the whole world hasn't become really simple lately with all this technology. As a matter of fact, they made it in such a way that even you buy one of these gadgets, they're made in such a way as that they break down after a short period of time. Previously, if you bought a car, it would last for 30 years or 40 years. It'd still be running. And they were made in such a way as even someone hit you with their car, nothing would happen. But nowadays, they made these modern cars. If you look at it the wrong way, it falls apart. And you got to go to repair. And it's not like they take out one piece and they got to take out the whole engine and replace it. If some little piece like that gets broken, they got to replace the whole engine. You got to get a new car. It's called built-in obsolescence. So they're actually purposely chewing up the resources just to make some money. And if they make money and everyone else starves, so be it. As long as they can make money. And the people running the whole show, they think if everyone else starves and we don't starve, then we're fortunate. the same philosophy as the South Africa, where there's a tribe that think that if we're alive, we're good, and if our enemy is dead, they're bad. So as long as we're alive, we're good. As long as someone else, if someone else is dead, they're bad. So it's the same philosophy. If we can kill everyone and still remain alive, then we're good, and they're all bad because they died. So this is what society is going towards. It's going towards. It's already there. We've arrived. We're living the Bhagavatam. And it's just a question of time before it gets worse and worse. There may be so many protests, so many people deciding why they're, like in the Ukraine, why this country invaded this country and could have been prevented. No, it can't be prevented. Why can't it be prevented? Because they haven't stopped killing the cow. They haven't stopped listening. It hasn't been stopped at all. Maybe a few people have become vegetarians. A lot of them have become other things, like vegans or something. They're actually envious of the cow. Why are you giving milk and spoiling our lives? Every time we look at you, we get sick. You're giving that poison milk, trying to kill everyone with your milk. But we want to protect you, so we don't drink milk. We don't want to plow the land with the bull. Oh, let them eat the bull. We don't care. It's the cow that we care about, because it's giving the poison milk. Let's protect the cow because it gives poison milk. And the bull, let it go to the slaughterhouse, because it doesn't give milk. They don't think, because the whole world is full of ignorance. They don't realize the root cause of it is sinful activity. If they stop killing the bull and the cow, and they realize that, why are we wasting our time with all these factories, with all this industrialization technology? Why don't we just grow our food? And the cow will naturally fertilize, with its stool, will naturally fertilize the land. It won't impact the land and destroy the land. It'll actually, the hooves of the cow will actually make the land more fertile. And the bull. Otherwise, unless that basic economy, unless that's established, which is actually coming from Brahminical culture, unless that Brahminical culture is established within the society, go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. Namo Brahmanya Hitaya, is that right? Namo Brahmanya Hitaya, go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna is not going to be satisfied. We can go on chanting and dancing, which is very good, but unless we get the intelligence to find out what's actually going on in this world and why we're also implicated in lording it over with material nature, very easily become implicated. Why did Prabhupada say give 50% of your income for the spreading the Sankirtan movement? Because it's so easy that you get implicated and attached to the material energy. It's not like it's difficult. We've been trained up like that since our birth. So it's not so easy to give it up. And we're living in a whole society where we're just surrounded by the whole ignorance, the whole, everything people are doing is wrong. And there's no God, practically there may be a little God consciousness. People talk about God on Christmas while they were eating their mother and ask God to bless their mother's flesh. Therefore, unless we can actually not only chant Hare Krishna and dance, but also establish a sane culture, Brahminical culture, then what kind of example are we showing to others? Yes, we should tell them to chant and dance, because that will give us and everyone else intelligence for how we should live life. But if we really want to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, he, when he met the Chankazi, he stopped the Chankazi from interfering with the Sankirtan movement, but he also preached to him about cow protection. He didn't tell the Chankazi, just dance and chant and forget about everyone else. He asked them, why are you killing your mother? Same thing Prabhupada used to do when he talked to the religious people. Why don't you follow Jesus Christ? He said, thou shalt not kill. So there's more to our movement than just chanting and dancing. It's also a whole revolutionary, not revolution. It's the Veda culture, the real human culture that we're trying to establish. Otherwise, society will go down. And perhaps when it goes down, we'll be going down with the ship, dancing, chanting. As the ship sinks into the ocean, we'll be, Haribo. So we should try to keep the ship afloat so we can go to its destination. And then we can all dance and chant together. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? And it's not like I just made this up. You know, anyhow, he's so pessimistic. He's also pessimistic. We got to think positive, you know. Just keep on killing the cow, the bull, and intoxicating, you know. Because if you kill the cow and bull and you eat it, then you need alcohol to digest it. Why do people, they drink wine? Because they can't digest the flesh, the rotten flesh. So they need wine. And when you have wine and meat together, you're in the ignorance and passion. And everyone looks beautiful. You actually believe you're Romeo and Juliet. And then after that, since the whole thing is based on a lie, everything comes out of your mouth. Everything that went into your mouth was sinful. Everything comes out of your mouth is also sinful. And it's just a question, who can tell the most convincing lie? Anyone want to predict a different future? No, it's going to be all right, Prabhu. You know? It's the golden age. Can't you see gold everywhere? The golden age, the same as the golden rule. You know the golden rule? He who has gold rules. So this is the golden age. Everyone's stocking up on gold. Because they know the paper money is useless. So he who has the gold will rule the golden age. Well, there's another, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to introduce another golden age. All right. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.